You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Angle, and Wall Street, Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. I'm not happy. I gotta be honest with you. I feel terrible about my effing team yesterday. It was one of those days. We're gonna get into it right at the top, I promise you. Scott Angle, good morning.
Good to see you, Greg. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving to you and everybody here. And I would say after 12 weeks, Sammy Watkins and Joe Mixon are finally where we want them to be fantasy.
Oh, let's not crown anybody after one effing week, please. Let's not do these hot takes today.
You are angry, Mr. Sussman.
I am angry. Yeah. I'm angry.
He's ornery.
I am angry today. Matt Modica, what's up, man?
Oh, it's going to be a very stressful week heading into week 13. A lot of money is on the line. I will be smoking many cigarettes this week.
It's probably not. It's not even worse for your health, to be honest with
probably.
You. There you go. Corey Parson, the fantasy executive. What's happening, man?
Yeah, week 12 was a interesting one, you know. A rough one in some regards. I lost a team, a very important team that could have done very well. Ended up going down on me, was about to go down on me. Didn't make a difference who I put in the lineup, including Antonio Brown, who was in the lineup but still fell short. But there's one person specifically that we can blame for, and I'm quite sure we'll spend a lot of time talking about that one person today.
Yeah, I have a feeling we will as well. On the show today, we'll go over every game, including coming up at about 7:10 a.m. Eastern Time on YouTube Live. I was talking about Michael Crabtree. We're talking about Aqib Talib. We're talking about that fight between Oakland and Denver, which my favorite part of, by the way, was Marshawn Lynch walking Aqib Talib off the field. That was fantastic. So we'll get into that. I want to start, though. I want to start with my own situation because I lost and I had Julio Jones yesterday.
Yeah, it's tough.
I got 44 plus points and a half point PPR from Julio Jones and I lost.
Yeah, I had the same situation with Antonio Brown.
And it feels terrible.
Because everybody else with these players got wins. You feel like it's just you that went down in flames.
I feel like I'm the only idiot.
Yeah.
And it's also crazy because my opponent, you know, his kicker is Greg Zuerlein, and I want to get mad at this, but it's every week that Greg Zuerlein does this.
Yeah, no, you can't get mad at it. It's a part of it. You know what I mean? I want kickers eliminated from fantasy football. I really do.
Sure.
I think it makes absolutely no sense to have the kicker involved. Use the DST.
But the kicker is part of football.
Yeah.
That's my argument. Everybody always says they want it to be real as possible. If you want that, kickers are a part of the game.
Yeah, if we're going to have it real, though, we're going to have to start adding offensive lines, though, somehow.
That's true, too. Yeah. You feel what I mean?
Okay, but then with baseball, I can say we got to start adding the field. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You want to go with me now?
We're just getting started.
It's feisty because the Bills won. Yeah.
But I don't know, man. It's tough. I would rather go with the DST. But listen, you lose to Greg Zuerlein. It's been weeks where I've beat people with Greg Zuerlein. So it's a part of the process.
And that wasn't the whole process. I mean, I lost with Julio Jones, but I also had Michael Crabtree in my lineup. I also had Kareem Hunt in my lineup.
That's what we need to start.
It's rough. It's a rough start. I'm ornery. I'm angry. Listen, this team should have a bye. Instead, we're fighting for the playoffs now, and it's very frustrating. We'll talk about Julio Jones, what he did. We'll also get into Corey Davis, who I never want to ever hear about ever again.
Corey Davis.
This morning here on the Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Good when you get something right. It feels good when finally everything comes together. That was Julio Jones yesterday. You're waiting for that monster. Mm-hmm. We were waiting for that monster ball out game from Julio Jones. He got it yesterday.
Nah, he had it yesterday. We saw vintage Julio. It started early, and it continued off. And once it got started, I was like, oh boy, it's going to be one of those days. Uh-huh. I was like, okay, he's going to go for two and change today, and he's going to drop a couple touchdowns. Listen, you waited for Julio this long. You got the game that you expected from Julio in one of the most important weeks you can have it. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. How many Julio Jones owners are out of it already?
Not me.
Well, that's good then. So you was able to tread water until you got this big game.
Here's the thing with Julio, though.
Yeah.
Real quick. Here's the thing. Like I said, if you were able to tread water with your teams and be there, if he wins you championships or gets you into the playoffs
and wins you
the championships, all's forgiven, and it's just recency bias going into next year, he's still going to be a first rounder.
I feel what you're saying, but you got a lot of Julio teams that's like, oh, this is perfect. Now that I'm 4-7, you feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
Now you drop this one on me. I think there's a lot of that out there, Scott.
I think with Julio, though, you look at his game log, though, there's never been a game in which he's had a single-digit performance.
True.
It hasn't been 100% Amari Cooper-like. He hasn't been, until this week, he hasn't been a wide receiver one. He's been a wide receiver two, kind of made up for it in one game. But I think if a team is out of it, it's hard to blame Julio. But yesterday's day was historic. He now has three career games with at least 250 receiving yards. He is the only player in NFL history to have multiple 250-yard receiving games. This is why he gets drafted in the first round.
And can I make just a quick point here? I heard last night, you know, they're talking about like how Aaron Rodgers is the MVP because he's so critical to that team. Shout out to Zeke Elliott. Because, I mean, if you go back from week 6 through week 12, 7 games, which was the Cowboys' bye week, over those 7 games, he is still 10th. He ranks 10th in running back in PPR. And only playing 3 games. And look at what happened to the Cowboys' offense since then. I know Tyron Smith and all that, but Elliott is the man.
And also, let's talk about that just for a second. What we asked a lot, you brought it up. Was it Tyron Smith or Ezekiel Elliott? It was Ezekiel Elliott that totally collapsed his offense, specifically Dak Prescott. When it comes to Julio Jones, everybody at this table is right that, listen, you have the blow-up game. Is it too little, too late? Julio is this good, as Scott was saying. And Matt's saying all is forgiven if you win it all, and Julio drives you to that. But this Bucs game, we all saw coming, right? Like, all right, it's the Bucs. They can't play defense. Julio's going to go off. The problem may be, in the weeks coming up, we have, if you survive that long, you have 4 weeks left in your fantasy football season if you survive all the way to the end. Week 13, Julio Jones faces Minnesota at home. Roads closed with Xavier Rhodes.
We got to get into that, too.
A week later, man, how about that? That was wild.
That's disgusting.
That was wild. We sat here that morning, like, what the hell is going on? All right. Roads closed and Minnesota. A week later, home against New Orleans and Marshawn Lattimore, if he's back by then, which I assume he will be. Then you get to the semis against Tampa Bay again. You're just like, oh boy, look at your chops. And then you make it to the finals, potentially Marshawn Lattimore again. So the schedule isn't exactly easy peasy for Julio Jones down the stretch. But Scott, you have to say the defense don't always win those matches. We saw with Xavier Rhodes on Thanksgiving against Marvin Jones Jr. But Julio Jones, who went off yesterday, the schedule doesn't exactly clear up for him starting next Sunday.
I don't think it's a daunting schedule either after the Minnesota game.
Marshawn Lattimore is the best quarterback in football.
But this is Julio Jones, and you can't always figure that the defense is always going to win every matchup.
I agree with that. I agree with that, Scott. You can't say it's not a daunting schedule. He faces literally, by Pro Football Focus, the best two quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, but he,
so you can't
but
say
but
it's not a daunting
here,
schedule.
Here's the thing, though. He's played New Orleans twice, so you figure, if you assume that the defense doesn't always win it, you figure he has one down game and he has one up game.
Right.
You figure Tampa Bay is good, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then you figure Minnesota tumps. To me, it's more balanced. And then you look at the game log, like, okay, Darius Slay, he faced him, right? He had 7 catches for 91 yards. He faced a pretty good Carolina secondary. He had 6 catches for 118 yards, so I would say it's more of a balanced schedule with a really tough matchup in Minnesota, maybe one maybe good, maybe one bad in New Orleans, and then you have Tampa Bay, but it's Julio Jones.
Quick question. I was driving to Staten Island, so I wasn't really – I had it on the radio, but I wasn't really watching it. But who was covering Marvin Jones Jr.? on Thursday.
Xavier Rhodes.
Thank you. So, look, Julio, it is a daunting task. I totally agree. And Rhodes has been, you know, probably the number one guy this season at that position. So, look, I got to start Matt Ryan in one league because my other quarterback is Dak, and I'm not happy about that. So, you know, it is what it is at this point. You're just hoping. Look, Matt Stafford threw a couple of touchdown passes, so you got to hope that Matt Ryan can deliver and Julio can be Julio.
Yeah, and if he's going to be Julio, like Scott made a point, he hasn't really killed you. But I know it's a lot of Julio owners that apply it like a little bit too little too late. But obviously, it's people that needed this week, and hopefully, he can keep the good times rolling down the stretch. As far as Xavier Rhodes, you still got to start Julio Jones. You still got to start him, and you wish for the best. It's not so much that maybe it's the matchup that he can't win. It's kind of like, does Matt Ryan throw Julio the ball when he has these tougher matchups? Obviously, we know Julio can dominate the D2s, but it's about, is Matt Ryan going to consistently get him the football like he did this week? I mean, they had Mohamed Sanu threw this dude a touchdown pass. Mohamed Sanu got an arm, too. Was he a quarterback?
He was. Yeah, look at this.
High school.
On Sanu, right? He was a triple-option quarterback in high school. And listen to this. He threw a 73-yard touchdown pass to A.J. Green in 2012. He is the first wide receiver since the 1970 merger to throw multiple career 50-plus yard touchdown passes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's look at the wide receivers that went in the first round, not named Antonio Brown. I mean, Julio just shot himself up to number 3 in PPR. But, I mean, look at the other guys in the first round. I mean, who's in the top 10? A.J. Green is 9th. I mean, where's Mike Evans? Does Mike Evans have a 100-yard game this
Mike
season?
Evans, no. Mike Evans is no. consistent, though.
No, so you say that.
Whoa. Come on.
Hold on.
Come on.
You
he
say
was
that.
Going right behind Julio, one or two picks, either him or A.J. Green.
So you say that with Mike Evans
Mike
being
Evans
consistent.
Was,
Mike
consistent.
Evans has been saying things Julio Jones.
Yeah, no,
he has.
I wouldn't go that
yes,
far.
Has.
I think
yes,
Mike
has.
Evans
oh,
Julio's
every,
been
every
week.
Week.
Wait a minute. But coming
Julio's
into the week.
Been
better than him.
Wait a minute. I'm not going to go that far. Coming into the week, I would.
Coming into the week.
I'd be hard pressed to say that.
Mike Evans doesn't have a 100-yard game. Julio's had 100-yard games.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
If you look at Mike Evans' game log, he does not have a single 100-yard game this season.
How many single-digit PPR games?
Mike Evans is the 18th wide receiver in a PPR right
now. Julio has been better than Mike Evans.
Yeah, he was.
I wouldn't go there. I don't think he can.
He
was, Corey.
Look at the stats.
The numbers say it.
The only thing that was different is that Mike Evans going into yesterday had 3 more touchdowns. That is the difference.
I got Mike Evans going into the week as wide receiver 15. And averaging 14 points a game.
I got
Julio Jones going into the week as wide receiver 20, averaging 13 points a game. So he has been better. Mike Evans has been better up until this
Mike
point.
Mike Evans has 2 single-digit games. Julio doesn't have any.
Yeah, but Mike Evans has been more consistent this season.
They've been basically the same.
Since week 8, you know, it's 11, 2.3. There was the game he missed. 14.2, 13.8.
That's another good point.
He had a game he missed, too.
That's another good point. You take the second half of the year. Mike Evans done very, very little. But nevertheless,
if they're the same, pretty much, say Julio went 4th. Evans might have went 5th. He might have went 7th overall.
Evans could have went before Julio.
So they were, like, right there.
Sure.
It wasn't like there was a big discrepancy. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. got hurt. He was looking like a beast. He got hurt, unfortunately. I mean, Jordy Nelson... Even when Aaron Rodgers was there, he was touchdown dependent. And so that's another guy. I'll say this. Michael Thomas hasn't been spectacular, but he's been consistent week in and week out. So if people are upset about him, I don't know why, because he gets the job done. And A.J. Green is another guy. He's got that 15 points a week, you know, averaging 15. So I think they've all been there. It's been less than we've expected.
Sure.
Put it that way.
But it's not like anybody is sticking out so much sort of the other way. You're like, oh, I missed on the draft pick by picking this guy. Nobody.
Yeah, but
no,
my
no,
point
none
is,
of them.
I agree.
Like, your first round pick, you don't want it to be a bust and kill you. Julio Jones, to me, isn't the reason why you're not making the playoffs. He was your number one pick. Okay, maybe he hasn't been the number two wide receiver all season. He's been a low-end one or a high-end two. But he's not the reason you are not making the playoffs.
How many touchdowns did he have going into this week?
You had Mike Evans at 4 going into this year. Into this week, Julio Jones at 1.
They've been the same.
They've been the same. They've been the same.
Well, Mike Evans got 4 touchdowns. Julio got 1.
That's true.
Mike Evans has single
digit. Mike Evans' quarterback ain't played in the month either.
Mike Evans has single digit games, and Julio doesn't have any.
That's true as well.
But my point is, you look at Evans and AJ Green, who both went right around Julio right after, you know what I'm saying? And they've been pretty much the same guy. So
yeah, it's kind of different because you had running backs go after Julio and Odell. You had people that was on Shady. You had people that was on Freeman. You had people that was on Melvin Gordon. Those wide receivers were pushed more towards the back end, where you could have took better running backs like Melvin Gordon
four,
and Todd
five,
Gurley.
Six. Those guys were going there. I mean,
it's that area. Depends on where you look at, but I'm not going to say that, Mike. Yeah, they've been about the same.
We'll talk more about the Bucks and the Falcons and a whole lot more. Week 12 continues after this.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Yesterday, Julio goes for 12, 253, and 2. Mike Evans, 6 for 78 on the day against Atlanta. As good as Julio Jones was yesterday, Austin Muhammad Sanu throwing the 50-yard touchdown at Scott 7. He also caught 8 passes for 64 yards. It's a very solid season for Muhammad Sanu.
Muhammad Sanu has been wonderful. He's a player that goes in your lineup every week. You cannot make a mistake and sit Muhammad Sanu. He's a part of that offense. He's very well involved. And if you are a Mohamed Sanu owner, you're probably in love with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Mohamed Sanu's year has been totally awesome. 45, 452, and 4. He also threw that touchdown.
You know, he's had a great year, and as a Julio owner, I think he's been too involved at times. if you have Mohamed Sanu, just like Corey said, you are pretty much in love with the guy.
Double-digit fantasy points in five of his last six overall, and only two single-digit performances all season long. And he has scored in three of his past five games.
He's getting it done.
Yeah.
On the other side, DeSean Jackson also caught 8 passes yesterday. Really, basically the same game as Muhammad Sanu, outside of the throwing touchdown. 8 for 60 from D-Jax, who I know we don't talk about all that much on the show. But on the year, D-Jax basically the same line as Muhammad Sanu.
Yeah, but
yes.
Here's the thing with D-Jax. You spent more draft capital on D-Jax.
Sure.
You expect more from him. You know, so D-Jax, I would say, has been a bit of a disappointment.
It's crazy, but it's literally the same exact line as Sanu.
Yeah, but yeah, you paid up for D-Jax, and D-Jax is not giving you those big blow-up games. Sanu looked like he's washed.
Yeah, Sanu wasn't even drafted, and DeSean Jackson has only two touchdown receptions dating back to Week 3. I mean, there's been some double-figure game. He started to pick it up recently. But in Week 8 and Week 9, you were really worried because he didn't even hit 7 points in those two games. But the last 3 weeks, 14.2 ESPN standard PPR, 10.8, 14. So you're getting okay numbers for him. But like Corey said, you know, this is a guy that you drafted somewhere as a wide receiver 3 where you didn't even draft Sanu.
Yeah, but you know, that's true. But, I mean, as far as DeSean Jackson, I had him like either 30th, between like 30th and 33rd. So in that range. And he's tied for the 31st wide receiver in PPR. He's getting what he expected.
I agree with that.
The difference is he's not scoring a touchdown.
And he's not giving you the big bust play.
Exactly.
He has one 100-yard game this season.
And in all fairness, especially early in the season, like those first 3 weeks, I remember – It was on Jameis. He missed him. I mean, he was open.
True.
They didn't have that connection, and now he's got Fitzmagic throwing him the ball.
But he's 8 for 60. That's not a DeSean Jackson line.
No, but
I don't think
that's better.
No, it is. But you know, draft DeSean Jackson for 1860.
Yeah.
You draft DeSean Jackson for 3 for 125 and a touchdown.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that kind of game that Mike Wallace had a few weeks ago. Dating back to week five, he's only cracked 80 yards one time.
I'm not saying he's been a disappointment or a bust. He's kind of been what you expect him to be. But you just look at, I thought that Tampa Bay offense would have been different. So you're satisfied with it. He goes in your starting lineup, but it's not. It's a different feeling with DeSean Jackson this year. He's not going to win you a week.
Yeah, the double figure games are there every week, but you don't get those major bust out weeks.
He doesn't
that
win you weeks
in the past.
Well, I'll say, I think he's been more consistent this year.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
Corey's right. You want that, you know, blow up week and all that, but you've pretty much been getting a more consistent version of him.
You had, from the running game from both sides in this one yesterday, Tevin Coleman runs for 3 yards short of 100. That means he had 97. 97 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns on the ground for Tevin Coleman. So if you're very, very, very happy, you're a Tevin Coleman owner. Obviously, with Devontae Freeman down, these are the games you hope for, Matt.
Yeah, no, you got to be, especially that second touchdown. That was really nice to get for us Tevin Coleman owners. I don't know what the deal is with this Tyron Ward. I don't know why he's so involved.
Sure.
You know, Coleman can handle the workload. It's not like, and ever since he's been like the run, ever since Freeman's gone down, he don't get any more passes. And I don't understand.
Because that's the way they run the offense.
Yeah,
they have the running back that they use for running the football,
yep.
and that's Tevin Coleman now. And now Ward is going to be the pass catching back. Should we be picking him up?
Tyron Ward?
I'm not. I don't understand why you have a talent like Coleman who can do it, especially in the open field. He's proven he can catch the ball and do really good things with it. Sarkisian's been an enigma all season.
Yeah, I wouldn't complain about Coleman because 59 carries the last 3 weeks, 4 touchdown runs. You've gotten almost 50 points the last 3 weeks. So,
yeah, but he could be even better. That's my point.
Yeah, but you're talking about 16, 13, and 22 points. It's
okay.
You know, that's pretty darn good.
I'm not saying it's not good, but why aren't you throwing the ball to this guy? He's proven he has these skills.
It's not as long as he is a starting running back for Devontae Freeman, he's not going to be catching passes.
And I'm not going to complain about it.
Yeah, I don't think
if he doesn't score touchdowns, then you're going to complain. That's the problem.
That's true too.
What though? This offense is moving, and he's got 4 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. So, you know, you are getting the touchdowns.
I'm with you. On the other side for Tampa Bay, Doug Martin gets hurt. He gets concussed yesterday. Wasn't really doing it. I mean, he had 7 carries, 33 yards. It's 4.7 yards a carry. But he gets concussed. Peyton Barber, your goal line back, he steals 2 touchdowns. Jaquizz Rodgers gets the most carries, 8 for 31. What do we make of this situation, Scotty?
I think going forward, if Martin isn't there, I think you'll have Peyton Barber as the goal line back. You'll see some Jaquizz. You'll see some Charles Sims in passing sets. I think it would become more of a committee.
I really don't want any part of this. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Quiz can give you a magical week like he did last year or something. But, I mean, Barber, Scott's right. Barber's going to be the goal line dude. Quiz, you know, maybe he gets back involved and, you know, wins people week 13s. But
if you're a playoff team, are you starting any one of these?
I'm not.
No. You got him on your bench, maybe.
I mean, if you want to pick one of these cats up.
I'm not even bothering.
I mean, it's a consolation round pickups.
Yeah, 14-team league.
Yeah.
All right. So, Julio was the good yesterday. Would you, Matt? I'm gonna turn this over to you. Would you like to talk about your running back that sucks or your wide receiver that sucks?
Let's stay with wide receivers.
Wide receivers. All right, let's talk about everyone's darling, Corey Davis, here. Mm-hmm. Because I sat here 1 week ago, and then 6 days ago, and then 5 days ago, and then 4 days ago, and all we heard was poetic, and not just from Matt, and not just from Scott. We heard it from every analyst on every station, on every show, about how good Corey Davis is. And Corey Davis is going to win you championships. And Corey Davis is going to do this. But Matt promised me 7 days ago that if this wasn't the Corey Davis game, he was like, all right, I'm done with the Corey Davis thing. Well, you know what? This wasn't the Corey Davis game.
Yeah, it wasn't. And you know what's like, I want to just run from it. And now he's got Houston coming up. So it's like, you know.
And then San Francisco in week 15.
Yeah, but I'm just like, if you're looking to make the playoffs, and say Matthews is out again, it's right. Like, how do you not play? Now he's got Houston. And look, I was in my New York Super between him or Cooper Kupp. I went back and forth on the two. I went with Corey Davis in that when I put Cooper Kupp in my primetime lineup. That's cost me 12 points. I mean, if I don't make the playoffs by 12 points, I'm going to be furious.
Sure.
But look, there's matchup, and then can the guy take advantage of the matchup? And we saw yesterday he's just not ready to take advantage of the matchup.
I don't even know if he's not ready. I got to say, Marcus Mariota has been nothing but crap.
Marcus Mariota is the problem.
Mariota is absolutely a problem. This is a matchup to exploit. Just like next week against Houston, we have a major matchup to exploit. And we just did not see it yesterday. It's clear that Delanie Walker is who he feels most comfortable with all over the field. 4 for 63 and a touchdown from Walker yesterday in this win for Tennessee. And Corey Davis, you know, I watched this game. I watched Red Zone yesterday, so this game was, you know, in and out. Corey Davis wasn't a thing.
No, I think what they're doing, I think Mariota is I don't want to say regressing. I think Mariota is struggling, and I think they're tightening up the playbook because we're seeing a lot of spreading the ball around, no passing deep down the field, no chunk yardage plays. It's just try to move the sticks, try to get to DeMarco Murray for the first down. This is not a fantasy-friendly offense.
Yeah,
no,
he's hit four different receivers four times. At least four times.
Kudos to Delanie Walker. He still had a strong season. But
Delanie Walker's been awesome.
It was crazy. He got his first touchdown week 12.
Isn't that? I mean, he had dropped touchdowns.
Yeah, no, he's dropped, or they've been missed. You know, there's been plenty of opportunities.
But yes, it is crazy. This is his first touchdown. Matt, you before we went on the air, you go, I'm going to curse myself if I have to start DeMarco Murray next week.
I am so dreading this in my prime time. It's like, I don't want to stop this guy. He's facing Houston, whose secondary is terrible. But they're still, I think, pretty good against the run.
Yep.
It's not a matchup. But the problem is, like yesterday, Derrick Henry's doing all the work. And what do? They give it to DeMarco Murray as, like, it was
the up back. Yeah. Inside handoff in the up back.
And it was like, okay, he winds up getting 13 points. It's like, do I play Josh Doctson versus the Cowboys? And that secondary.
And it's a decision you got to make on Thursday, too.
You know, early in the year, if you had like Kareem Hunt and DeMarco Murray, you're feeling good. Now you're like, okay, can I win in week 13? Because 12 carries for 9 yards, you know, he had a few catches and he does that here and there. But if he's not getting in the end zone, he scares the heck out of you. In week 10, he had 2 touchdowns, but he only had 14 carries and 42 yards. He's a touchdown dependent guy who isn't always in goal line packages.
Real quick, and Scott just brought up Kareem Hunt, but just real quick, think of all those people that passed up on Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. Look, I love Kareem Hunt. I'm going to die in the, I'll go down in flames with him this upcoming week in leagues that I need him. He's going in my lineup. I don't really care. It's the Jets.
Talk about him in a second.
Yeah, and all that.
You chose this path, so we'll go down this path.
The fire has already started.
We'll go down this path first. Now, you said, Scotty, DeMarco Murray, touchdown dependent, and it has been there a lot, though, despite that dependency. It's been there.
He's got 5 touchdowns, yeah.
The problem is with Derrick Henry, right? So Derrick Henry brings you down there, as Matt said. 13 carries, 79 yards. He caught 1 pass for 10. That's not going to get it done either, because you have Derrick Henry who looks good on the ground, averaging 6 yards a pop. But that's it. That's all you're getting. You're not getting touchdowns, which is an issue.
And you're not getting receptions.
And you're not getting receptions. Corey, what do you do in this backfield?
This is a disaster right here. the thing about the Derrick Henry owner is the Derrick Henry owner always wants to put Derrick Henry in the lineup.
For sure.
Always wants to put Derrick Henry in the lineup.
You can't use him, and with Murray, you talk about the touchdowns. Yeah, he's got 5 rushes. DeMarco Murray is a touchdown-reliant back who has not scored in 8 of 12 games so far.
But he's catching the football out the backfield, and the touchdowns are kind of saving his days. Obviously, the yards per carry being under 1 is terrible. He comes in, he gets that 1-yard touchdown on the goal line after they tried it with Henry a couple times. Henry's the better player. Henry's playing better football. DeMarco Murray's the starting running back. There's nothing we can do about that.
Touchdown dependent, but, you know, 7 of 11 games he hasn't scored.
Hey, we heard you. Yeah. But
can you sit him?
Can you sit him for Derrick Henry?
Not for Derrick Henry, no.
Yeah. We'll continue the conversation next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back with you here on the Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network, presented to you by DX Racer. We're talking about the Titans, how bad Marcus Mariota is. 184-1, two interceptions yesterday. Of course, I don't want to say he regressed, but he just hasn't progressed, that's for sure.
Nah, he's not getting the job done. Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston are two busts at the quarterback position this year. Guys that were going inside the top seven at quarterback, both of them, Jameis with injury. But if he was playing, I don't think it'd probably be much better. You feel what I'm saying?
Here's a good question. Week 13. So you have Mariota and you have Roethlisberger. Mariota has Houston at home. Roethlisberger is on the road at Cincinnati.
I'm going with Big Ben.
Going with Roethlisberger.
I'll go with Mariota.
I think it's crazy, but I think, bet on the road is the thing still.
Especially at Cincinnati.
Home, at home these last 2 weeks has been amazing.
Mariota anywhere is not
Houston's,
a good thing.
Houston's different. Houston's different. Personally.
It's a great match. I mean, this matchup is...
Yeah, but who did they face yesterday and he didn't take advantage of it?
Indianapolis.
You're dismissing Ben on the road for the last...
I'm not.
You're looking at the last 2 weeks at home where he's put up 40 points each.
I'm not. I don't want to start Mariota, period, in a game where I have to win. You know, I know it's not going to be good with Ben, but... You know, when a guy doesn't even hit 8 points against the Colts, you know, I'm hoping I'll get a nice 14 from Ben.
I don't know. It's a tough matchup.
I gave him my answer. We'll continue to discuss it during the week. On the other side, you have Indianapolis. You have Jacoby Brissett. It was very bad yesterday.
That was a disappointment.
Yes. Threw for 196 yards, no touchdowns, didn't throw an interception either, but he was sacked 8 times on the day, fumbled it twice, lost one of them. The only Colt receiver or receiving option that got the job done was my man Jackie D, Jack Doyle, 7 catches for 94 yards. It's been a really good season for Jack Doyle.
Yeah, Jack Doyle is getting it done. Jack Doyle balled out even without Andrew Luck. Him and Brissett seem to have this connection that they have going on. He made an excellent play in the middle of the field yesterday. Mm-hmm. As far as Brissett's game overall, the offensive line's got to be able to give him some help and help him get, you know, plays to develop. He was trying to get the T.Y. deep a couple times, but you can't do that if you're laying on your back. T.Y., I'm sorry, bro. You can't. I'm not. It's over. Yeah, it's over. It's too important
when
now.
You don't take advantage of a matchup like that. And Brissett was a big disappointment yesterday. But then again, you know, sometimes in divisional games, you know, these teams know each other, and sometimes it's lower scoring or the offense doesn't produce what you expect. This was Brissett's worst fantasy game since week 4.
Jack Doyle is second in receptions for tight ends, only 3 behind Travis Kelce. I really thought without Luck it was going to be a problem, but he's delivered for you.
He's absolutely delivered for you. For those of us that dropped him for Greg Olsen, yay.
by the way, this was T.Y. Hilton's second 15-yard game in his last 4.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton, we said it, right? After he blew up a couple of weeks ago, we said, you got to trade him now. And that was your do-or-die moment. Hopefully, you didn't trade him for Kareem Hunt like some of us did.
Yeah, and then upcoming Jacksonville, Buffalo, Denver, Baltimore.
It doesn't get better for him. Yeah.
This was the week. I mean, I really thought
this was T.Y. it. I thought
T.Y. was going to have one of those 170, you know, a touchdown.
Especially at home, the whole deal. It didn't happen. It did happen for Frank Gore, that anyone had him in their lineups, but 62 yards on the ground and a touchdown.
I tell you, Frank Gore's touchdown, it looked so easy. Mm-hmm. Frank Gore looks better than DeMarco Murray. That was one of the takeaways I had yesterday. I was like, you know what? If Frank Gore was on this Titans team, instead of DeMarco Murray, I think, you know, it's crazy. I mean, kudos to Frank Gore. In my opinion, he's a Hall of Famer, but we'll see what happens there. He's had a wonderful career, and, you know, I haven't drafted him in years.
Double-figure PPR points in three of his last four games.
It's been nice down the stretch for you. Yeah. He's been nice down the stretch for you. Okay, Matt. Now we talked about your wide receiver.
Let's go.
Let's talk about your running back, your baby, the hill that you have said you will die on. 1 week ago, 7 days ago, mm-hmm. you said, if not next week for Kareem Hunt, not ever. He has to get fixed. He's facing the worst rush defense over the last 3 weeks in the NFL in Buffalo. A Buffalo team that let up a bajillion points and yards to Mark Ingram. A bajillion points and yards to Alvin Kamara. And they let up just 17 yards on the ground to Kareem Hunt.
It's like inexcusable. Every clip I've seen, I don't know what happened to the Kansas City team. I mean, they're what, 6-5 now?
Yeah,
the Chargers might win this division.
They feel they can.
If I had a bet on any team, it's the Chargers.
Sure.
But look, they're playing the Jets. They're coming back to MetLife Stadium this week. It wasn't a good thing 2 weeks ago. But, you know, I've gotten this far. Kareem Hunt will be in every lineup I have that I need to either win the league head-to-head or get the most points. I got to die in this hill. I don't know what the hell's going on in Kansas City. Besides Travis Kelce, you really don't feel comfortable starting any other Chief.
You know, you die on this hill, you're getting very close to death's door. I mean, you look at the last three matchups, all matchups you thought he could take advantage of. You can't even look at the matchup against the Jets anymore. 37 rushing yards against the Cowboys, 73 against the Giants, and 17 against Buffalo, who everybody has been tearing up. It's like Kareem Hunt. Not only do like you want to die on that hill. Are you sure you even want to start him this week?
I think it's a very fair point, Scott. Like, listen, Matt's dying on the hill. Scott, you bring up the point. Wait, should you even be starting Kareem Hunt, Corey, against the worst rush defense over the last 3 weeks, which everyone had been just walking over? Right, you didn't have to do anything, and you were scoring touchdowns against Buffalo. Kareem Hunt had 17 yards on the ground. Obviously, Kansas City's offense is extremely broken. You should try to fight for your playoff life this week. Can Kareem Hunt go to the bench?
What better option do you have at this
point?
Can
you start Kenyon Drake over him? Jameson Williams is hurt. Pick up Kenyon Drake. I'm talking to myself. All right, I have Kenyon Drake. I have no spot for Kenyon Drake other than on the bench, but I have Kareem Hunt. Can I start Kenyon Drake? I have no idea what the matchup is. Can I start Kenyon Drake over Kareem Hunt?
I think this is a conversation that we can have later on in the week.
So there you go.
Yeah, like Joe Mixon over Kareem Hunt.
Joe Mixon,
yeah,
great example.
I mean, P. Ryan over Kareem Hunt.
Sure.
Right? Hunt has 13 receiving yards in the last 2 weeks.
He's been targeted 10 times in the last three games, which to me, I don't get that.
One time yesterday.
And, you know, he's gotten, what, 38 rushing attempts over the last three games. A 9, an 18, and an 11. I don't know what happened to the Kansas City team. Look, I know they weren't as good. Alex Smith wasn't as good. Kareem Hunt wasn't as good as that, you know, first game of the season. But this is, I mean, he's still a good player. And I don't know what the hell happened and what's going on with his offense. And like I said, besides Travis Kelce, you don't feel comfortable, but I'm going to take Kareem Hunt over Kenyon Drake this week, and I'm not going
to
think twice.
You want to point to something that maybe happened to it? You know, Corey pointed out last week, Alex Smith is turning it into Alex Smith. They're not hitting any chunk plays anymore in the passing game. They're loading up against the run. They can bring an extra man into the box against Kareem Hunt now, and it's working. You know, this team is not what it is. All over. If you do a Google News search for Chiefs, there are about a dozen stories about why they should play Pat Mahomes right now.
Andy Reid said before the game, listen, we're not going to have Pat Mahomes, Alex Smith's team, blah, 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 blah. This team needs something. This team needs some sort of jolt. I mean, they're going to lose their grip on an AFC West. They started out a bajillion and oh, and now here they are fighting for their lives in the West. And you have a Kareem Hunt. Is it possible, Corey, given that he went to college at Toledo? This wasn't Ohio State he went to. He went to the University of Toledo. Is it possible that this wear and tear of a long season is wearing
down? I think he's hit a rookie wall.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? Everybody's saying, well, no, they play way too many games in college right now. He's conditioned and Senior Bowl and this and that. I think he's hit a rookie wall. But I heard somebody say something better. He's hit the Andy Reid wall. You feel what I'm saying? Andy Reid and this shoddy play calling, these effing shuttle passes, I'm sick of it. You feel what I'm saying? These shuffle passes, these misdirection plays that people have caught on to. It seems like people are coming in there with this game plan in hand. They're shutting down the run. Andy Reid is continuing to, and his man is continuing to call crazy plays. Everything we were excited about in this offense, people have caught on to it, and they haven't adapted. It's been no adjustments. And they're just rolling him out there. And we as fantasy owners, we're just rolling Kareem Hunt out there like a bunch of jackasses.
So can we stop?
We have to have that. This is a discussion we have to have all week, and we don't have an answer for that right now.
And the team falls behind. It's not built to play catch up whatsoever. Not with Alex. Alex Smith had 3 touchdown passes in Week 7. By that point, we're like QB 1. Then you look at it. Denver, 1 touchdown pass. Dallas, which you should take advantage of, 2 touchdown passes.
Sean Lee played in that game.
The secondary is bad.
He did.
The Giants, no touchdown passes. Buffalo, 1 touchdown pass. The last 3 games matchup he should take advantage of, he has not.
I remember saying back in September, if Alex Smith had a good fantasy game, it's a mistake. Then I was like, you know what? I was wrong. They're getting it done. I was right. It's a mistake.
What's crazy, maybe a week or two ago, Alex Smith was, so maybe 2 weeks ago, Alex Smith was leading the league in deep passing. So he can do it. They got to get back. Andy Reid's got to go back to the drawing board, figure something out. I'm not going to bench Alex Smith. I don't think this team could bench him right now. Look, Mahomes looked great in the
practice.
Practice and preseason. And he is definitely the quarterback of the future, no questions. But they got to get things fixed. Hey, what's crazy? Isn't Darrell Revis suiting up this week for them?
In New York against the Jets.
Here's another thing, too. Maybe. It's like, look at the recent game logs for Tyreek Hill. They're not hitting the chunk plays anymore, even though he's had 7 receptions the last 2 weeks. 41. 68, this yardage, 64-38. He had a 125 game in Week 7. Before that, 34-68-35.
They're not getting him. Remember, this time last year is when Tyreek Hill was getting it done. We were like, oh my God, we got to play this guy every week, because every week he's busting off these plays. Now he's become like a dink and dunk possession wide receiver.
He's Jerry Macklin.
Marvin Jones.
Marvin Jones has been good, but Cordy, your point, it's like, I did the same thing with Tyreek Hill after Week 4. I was like, I was wrong.
Absolutely. Right, you know? I sat here, I was like, we're all wrong about Tyreek Hill.
Now he's turned into this guy.
This right
where
here is coaching.
He can't beat
defense. Andy Reid has a tendency of doing this. He has a tendency. He'll get away from Jamal Charles. He got away from Brian Westbrook. He got away from Travis Kelce at times. He just don't know what he's doing.
They've been terrible off the bye, which is, you know, that was the whole
issue. This guy's costing me. He's costing me.
Costing all of us.
Because I got to put Kareem Hunt in the damn lineup, and he ain't doing nothing. I'm sick of it.
We'll take a break. We're going to come back. We'll talk about the Buffalo Bills with Matt Modica, how he's feeling today. I honestly have no idea. I want to know. So we'll talk about it when we come back.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Did you hear the news that they actually offered Scotty the Time Magazine cover?
No, I didn't know they offered Scott to be Time Magazine Person of the Year.
Did you hear that?
Wow.
I wasn't aware of it either.
Wow. Congratulations, Scott.
Scotty, yeah, I know you wound up, they wanted to take a photo shoot of you, give an interview, it didn't work out for you, but, you know, I know they offered it to you, but congratulations.
I wasn't aware they offered it to me. They must have thought you were my publicist because they haven't told me.
I hate that he has no idea what I'm talking about. Amazing.
I'll be at that building today, Scott. I guess they want to talk to me about you.
Wow. There you go.
Interviewing me about Scott today.
Maybe that's what it is.
We got to get him one of those red hats.
Matt Modica, your Buffalo Bills, after 2 debacles, one with Nathan Peterman, they go back to Tyrod Taylor in a tough spot, or so we thought, in Kansas City, and they win. Big win for this team. They're trying to make playoffs the first time this millennium. 183 yards passing, 1 touchdown for Tyrod Taylor. He also rushed for 27 yards on the ground. LeSean McCoy has a total of 79 yards. It was Charles Clay, as it always is. Zay Jones catches a touchdown. He was targeted 10 times in this game. We said a couple of weeks ago that Zay Jones is trending up, and he really is.
Yeah, it seems to be. And look, if he was somebody you scooped up maybe last week or the week before, had him on your bench, he's probably a guy, you know, you're happy that you did that. The Bills' defense played really well yesterday. They really did. I mean, Trey White was a great first-round pick. He's been an excellent player for them. I still would rather have Pat Mahomes, all things being equal. But, you know, it is what it is. And look, this team, look at what they did starting Peterman. I'm not saying they were going to win that game in Los Angeles.
But again, there's just no shot.
That was a tough spot. Yeah, they would have had a shot at least. So that was a major debacle by a first-year coach. And look, I was happy for Tyrod yesterday. At this point, I just got to root for them to keep winning because they have 6 wins already. And, you know,
the draft pick's not coming. Yeah.
Yeah. So Zay Jones has double-figure PPR points in 3 of his last 4 games, including the Peterman game as well. And he's got New England coming up twice, Indianapolis, and Miami.
Zay Jones is going to be someone that could win you leagues.
Yeah,
by the way. You're looking for those. You're looking for the Corey Davis. It might be Zay Jones.
Yeah, it might not be. It's not going to be Mike Williams. It might not be Corey Davis. It could be Zay Jones.
That was a really nice touchdown catch by him.
Yes, yeah,
he is. Nice. You know what? He's gotten a little more comfortable playing the NFL. He's figured it out a little bit.
Position wise, too, being in the correct position is a major thing. He's a slot receiver.
Sure.
That's where, you know, he played in a 5 wide set in college. So, you know, putting him on the outside, asking him, you know, to beat number one corners and all that, that's not his game.
Absolutely not. And I think when this team gets Kelvin Benjamin back, you have him on one side, you have Jordan Matthews on the other, and then you got Zay Jones in the middle. I mean, that's not so bad.
Look, I think he's a wide receiver 4 right now that you consider as a stream, but he worries me in an Aguilar kind of way.
Sure.
Because slot receiver, he's scored in two of his past 3 outings. You know, can you depend on the touchdowns, especially when they play New England?
I'll say this about Nelson Aguilar. He just seems to have a nose for the end zone. He always by the ball
sure
or something.
Does.
He makes nice little plays inside that 10. He makes people miss him.
Ridiculous. Let's talk about LeSean McCoy for a second. LeSean McCoy on the year has rushed for 758 yards on the season. He has rushed for 4 touchdowns on the season.
All since week 7.
Touchdowns. Yeah. This week's out. He's also caught 46 passes for another 295 yards and another touchdown. That's 5 touchdowns on the year. Corey, LeSean McCoy was going as early as 5 overall in like the middle of August. For really no reason at all, the last 2 weeks of August, he kind of sunk back down and wound up being a second round pick in a lot of places.
People were scared off. When the bag came out, people were scared off with an older running back.
Correct. If you draft LeSean McCoy, how do you feel today?
I think you feel good.
Yeah.
I think you feel good. Injuries hasn't been a problem. Quitting because Buffalo sucks hasn't been a problem because Buffalo doesn't suck. He's been matchup proof when it comes to whatever trash, not trash, but when they put that trash back there at quarterback, you know what I mean? He still stayed the course. Tyrod getting it done. He's catching the football. He's been steady, consistent. If you are a LeSean McCoy owner, which I was in more places, you cannot ask for more from LeSean McCoy. You can't for damn Kareem Hunt, though.
Yeah, look, LeSean McCoy has. I mean, Kareem Hunt's still been better this season than him. But I did say the yards per carry were going to come down. People argued that. The touchdowns were going to drastically come down. They have. And look, he's right now the number 7 running back in PPR. So, you know, if you have him, you're happy. And it's been good, but, you know. He's had the monster weeks. He's been, you know, he catches the ball, too. So that's a major thing. That's what you want in the PPR game. You want that. I mean, it's crazy.
You know what LeSean McCoy is? LeSean McCoy is the best player on the team, and they treat him like he's the best player on the team.
Real quick, if you're handcuffing for the playoffs, Travaris Cadet.
Take a break. Hour number 2, next.